Hello, folks. I'm John Saxbury here with Bible Now. I want to talk to you today about something good. I could do it like Dr. Oral Roberts. Something good is going to happen to you. I can still hear that voice. That was the name of his TV program. Anyway, today is something good is going to happen to you. Part 2. Confessing your miracle. Healing miracle. You got to confess that. That thing that you they come the mouth confesses the issues of the heart the mouth speaks. So if you're confessing prosperity, you speak prosperity. You want confessing for a new job, you speak that new job into existence. God's not going to sit there and tell you no. You've got to understand. We've got to eat of the goodness of people need to eat of the goodness of God. They don't understand that. I mean, you get people who say, oh, the name it, claim it, preachers, those can blab it and grab it. I just don't get that. That's just not right. That's just all for crooked people. Blah, 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 blah. That's because their heart is hardened. They're speaking from a hardened heart. They're speaking from a heart that's been torn up and not, they don't allow God, they don't allow the Holy Spirit to come in and do the work on their hearts, so they shut their heart off to these things. And it's very tragic how it ends, too, most of the time. And I want to get into God's Word. If you'll all rise for the reading, if you're sitting in your chairs, I'd like for you to stand up for the reading of the Word of God. And I want to start in Luke chapter 8, verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could heal of any, be healed, neither should she be healed of any, by any, none of the doctors could heal her, came from behind him, touched the border of his garment, immediately her issue of blood. The issue of blood stenched. Immediately, her issue of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied Peter and they that were with him, Master, the multitude thrown thee and pressed into thee. Sayest thou, who touched me? Jesus said, "Somebody has touched me, for I perceive that a virtue has gone out of me." Means he felt the power of God surge in him and come through him. It was like the power of God was accessed through him. She came, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before them. She declared unto him, before all the people, for what cause she had touched him, and how was she healed immediately. He said unto her, O good, be of good comfort, thy faith has made you whole, and go thy peace. Basically, she made a confession. For one, she spoke. She's told herself, if I shall go to him, the confession was made that if I shall go to him and touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. It's by the confession of her mouth that she declared it. She put it before her, and when she grabbed a hold of it, the word she spoke met up with the supernatural, met up with the natural when she touched the hem of his garment. This is a major thing in Christianity. You've got to understand that everything in existence is here by a confession, by a spoken word, by an authority. A confession is an authoritative declaration. You're declaring something, a declaration. It's a profession that you're standing on who you are. Basically God's declared who he was and created everything we see around us. He created the trees, he created the grass, he created the ground, he created the animals, he created you and I, all through a confession. The word of God, the entire word of God is a spoken confession. It is a word of faith. Kenneth Hagin never founded the word of faith movement. People always say, oh, that's just that Kenneth Hagin crap that people believe from the 70s and the 80s and the early 90s. It's just a bunch of garbage. No, it's not. Your religion is. Kenneth Hagin did not start anything. Jesus started the word of faith movement. Everything here is brought forth by faith. What do you think? Jesus needed faith? Jesus was faith. Jesus is faith. People don't understand that. Jesus is faith. When you're bashing faith, anything about faith, you are bashing the Son of God. And you need to repent. And you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit on top of it. All faith comes forth by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is faith. The Holy Spirit is faith. He is faith. He is hope. He is peace. He is joy. He is healing. He is everything. He is the fullness of God. He's not a part of the Godhead. He's the fullness of the Godhead. The problem is we've got a Western mindset set in by churches that were established here after outside the Pentecostal movements. And they established it, and they never experienced the Holy Spirit. So they shut themselves off. So that then you get these cessational movements where they say, "Oh, the miracles all stopped with the last 11 disciples. Did it all stop? There's no more miracles. God's not. What do they think? Jesus is God's retired, and Jesus moved down to the Bahamas and running a surf shop down there, and the Holy Spirit's like." Not even existing anymore? I mean, seriously. We've got to come back to the place where we are making God a reality. The things of God have to be a reality. Our reality is the thing is a confession of faith through confessing things into existence. Our reality is not in physical things. Our reality is in spiritual things. I said our reality is not in physical things. It's in spiritual things. Our reality is in our bank account in heaven. Our reality is in our bank account in heaven. It's not in a bank account down at Commerce or Bank of America or U.S. Bank or SunTrust Bank or this bank or that bank. The East Bank, the West Bank, the North Bank, South Bank, the River Bank. It's in Him. Our reality is in Him. If we make treasures in heaven, there's where our heart shall be. If our healing is in heaven, where do you think our heart's going to be? Our heart should be. It should be in the things of heaven, right? This is the way God intended for it to be. God never meant for you and I to be sick and depressed. God never meant for us to be sick and depressed. God never created us for sickness and depression. He created us to be in health and joy and peace and love. Praise, power, peace, and the Holy Ghost, and all that, you know, that song. Good, love, praise, peace, and power, and joy in the Holy Ghost. My God is never wrong, and He makes time for me. He blew apart these chains and set this sinner free. That's what we should be confessing. Yeah, I mean, we've got to come back. The church has got to come back to its roots. Its roots are in the book of Acts. The Pentecostal movement didn't start in the word of faith in the Pentecostal movement didn't start in the 1800s like a bunch of crap theologians try to preach. That's the biggest load of garbage I've ever heard. It started on the day of Pentecost when they were all in one accord. They were all hungry and all desperate for a move of God because Jesus told them, go tarry in Jerusalem and I will pour out my spirit. Go into Jerusalem in Judea and the uttermost parts of, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me and Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. People say, "Oh, you're jumping out there too far with your broadcast. You should start out in you're just in Jerusalem, and I think you need to just you're in your babies." I said, "No, this is my uttermost parts. If you would have saw me when I first got saved." If you would have saw me when I first got saved and first got called to ministry, you would have another. You'd be preaching a different sermon. I mean, you got people like Jack Harris, Pastor Jack Harris, Pastor Rick Shelton, Pastor Donna Shelton, Pastor Josh Shelton, Pastor Tori Shelton, Don Leith. All those people who were there with me since day one. Day one, I mind you. Even Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. Day one, have seen the progression and the changes. Yet I went through a lot of stuff that I shouldn't have had to go through, but I went through it because and I'm not going to go down that road. That'll be for another day. But they've seen me since day one, and they can tell you that this is my uttermost part. This is working and progressing and proceeding forth. Building relationships in the house of God. Getting built up by men and women that I surround myself with every Sunday. I'm going to tell you something. I don't wear this badge lightly. You see this badge? This badge is not worn lightly. I take this with every ounce of blood that Jesus shed on Calvary. This is my uttermost part. Why? Because I kept confessing these things to be in existence. Years ago, I kept confessing that I was going to be on TV. I confessed that I was going to be in leadership one day at church. I kept confessing when other people said I wasn't good leadership material. They said I would never be on TV. I'm on TV all around the world right now on Facebook Watch. They said I would never have a radio program. Well, I got my podcast right here recording. It's all because I confessed. I confessed this forth. You've got to confess yourself, confess the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. People say, well, all that word of faith stuff doesn't make no sense to me. Well, we don't walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Sorry. My brain did a switch on me. You gotta forgive that. I'm speaking healing against that. I rebuked that, and I call correction to my speech in Jesus' name, and I confess that God's going to correct that. We walk by faith and not by sight. It's not about what makes sense. Lean not upon your own understanding. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways aren't your ways. My plans aren't your plans. The Bible also says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord, a plan of future, hope in the future." We've got to confess. We've got to make that confession, folks. I am healed. That's it. I am healed of these seizures. I'm healed of this stammering. I'm healed of this asthma. I'm healed of this Ehlers-Danlos disease. We've got to make that confession, folks. I had a healing miracle happen in my lungs. The doctors are baffled. They are wondering why I'm not in hospice. I can sit here and preach this word to you. From the mouth confession speaketh. It's from what you proceed forth out of your mouth. You want to sit there and cry because you have no money? Cry because you just don't know why you're so defeated by the devil. Well, listen to what you're confessing. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Faith without works is dead. Your faith works. Your faith works. How do you work your faith? Through your confession. Through what you confess. What you step forward out of your flesh to do. The Bible says, in the book of Galatians, it says, those who are born again of the Spirit shall live by the Spirit, and their flesh shall rule them not. People live too much by their flesh, and they allow their flesh to take control. We've allowed too much of our flesh to just take over, and it never fails. These people who live in the flesh, they never get the victory that God wants them to have. They want to be trapped in their mind because they want to sit there and play with things and play with the issues instead of confessing them gone. I'm serious, folks. I mean, a lot of it is broke people. A lot of broke people like to stay broken because they love the attention they get. They're getting attention. Their flesh is being ruled by the attention they get. Our flesh is a crazy man. We want it. Our flesh wants attention so bad. That's why they got all this TikTok crap out there and all this Musical.ly and all these video apps so people can go out there and feed their flesh for attention. Unnecessary attention. I got an idea. You wanna be noticed? You wanna step out, get you a Bible? Log on to Facebook Live and start preaching the word to them, people. There's an alternative for you. I mean, we've got to step back. We've got to step back in the word of faith. We're just being mimickers of our Father. We're trying to work in the image and likeness of God. By confessing our faith. The word of faith didn't come by Kenneth Hagin. Like I said, he's just imitating what he sees his father do. A father has a son. A son sees his dad become a farmer. Well, that child's immediately inspired to the work that father brings up, the work ethic that father instills into him. Eventually, that kid starts to work slowly, and the next thing you know, he's working full time. Next thing you know, that son grows up to be a farmer. Why? Because he was imitating his father. We've got to imitate our father. We got to be imitators of our father. We've got to confess that with our mouth. We've got to say, look, I know our bank account doesn't have anything, but you know what? I come dressed like $1 million. I come to do business. I'm stepping out in faith. I know I don't have a dime in my pocket to do this. I know I don't have a dime in my pocket to start the broadcast, but I know God, I know you told me to start this broadcasting network. But I'm stepping out and I'm confessing that all the funds are there and it's going to be all paid in full and not a dime's going to come out of my pocket and God's going to flip the bill. That's how it goes. It goes the same way with your car. You confess yourself, confess this stuff. With finances, confess this stuff with your home, your kids. My daughter's away, she's on drugs. But I confess her to be in the kingdom of God. I confess her in the minute I speak her to have a husband that is on fire, full of the Holy Ghost, a devil destroying, tongue talking, baptized in the Holy Ghost, man of God. Who's gonna shake the nations with revival? I speak it forth in Jesus' name. I know my son's on drugs. I know he's in jail right now, but I speak that he's gonna raise up disciples in that prison cell, and he's gonna be shake that prison till the gates fall open. He's gonna get set on fire in there, and when he gets out, he's never going to want to touch another drug for the rest of his life, and he's going to preach your kingdom to the day you return. Confess this stuff. This stuff works. I'm telling you, this stuff literally works. You just got, people got to get out of their carnal mind. What don't make no sense? It's not supposed to come from the head. Faith comes from the heart. Confession comes from the heart. Confession doesn't come from your head. Stop trying to figure the thing out. The problem is, in the body of Christ, we've got too many over-perfectionists. People are trying to perfect things. Think creates this perfection message. When they're really nothing but a bunch of people pleasers, when it boils down to it. Like this globe. I spoke this globe into existence. I said, Lord, put a globe in my studio. I need a globe in my studio so I can pray over the nations while I'm preaching. You know what he did? Wife comes home that same day after I was preaching. It was during the midday broadcast. I'm preaching. She goes, honey, I got something out of the car for you. I walked out. Sure enough, here's this baby right here. This is what confession brings. This is what confession brings. This is in these two healthy breathing lungs. This is what confession brings. This studio, this is what confession brings. This broadcast, this is what confession brings. You gotta start confessing. You gotta start confessing. This is not the day and the hour to lay back on your laurels and be lazy. Time is running out. I don't know if you've seen the events in the world lately. We have no time to be playing games with God. We need to be meeting serious business. I've got 9 things I wrote down, and I want you to write them down in your notes or write them down in the comment section here. Please share this broadcast if you're watching. Number one, the Bible is a word of faith. The Bible is a word of faith. The entire book from Genesis to Revelation is a word of faith. Number two, everything is in existence because of a spoken word. God spoke and the waters were formed, were there. He created the waters. He spoke and he formed the dry land. He spoke and he formed the beasts of the ground, and he spoke and the plants came into life. Everything here is because of his spoken word. You and I are here because of a spoken word. Let's make man in our image. Let him not be alone. So he put the man asleep, and he says, "Let him give him a helpmate." So he took the rib from Adam and created a whole new woman. No wonder why men like ribs. Number three, you can't argue with God's word. God's word is true. It cannot lie. This book is Genesis from to Revelation. Not one punctuation, not one word, paraphrase, or anything is a lie. It is 100% unadulterated, the true written word of God, Almighty God. You can't argue with God's word. The Bible is the foundation of all truth. Four, you can't argue with a testimony. For they were overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Because we're overcomers by the words of our testimony. It's by that spoken word that comes out and it causes a chain reaction. My healing will cause a chain reaction to somebody else to get a healing. And it'll go on and on and on. That's how it works. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. God doesn't go back on. Number five, God never goes back on his word. God never says, okay, you blew it, I'm taking your miracle away. God says, okay, I'll do it. I was going to heal you. I was going to save you, but, you know, hey, I decided not to. He's not a man. He's not a God that he shall lie. Nor is the Son of Man he shall repent. Number six, miracles never stopped. Miracles have been going on since before Jesus' time. Miracles came when God created the heavens and the earth. That's a miracle in itself. For all creation is a miracle of God. The universe is a miracle. Everything in existence is because of a miracle. Picture that. Think about that. Let that sink in with you. It didn't stop with the 12 disciples after the last one went, oh, well, they went the healing ministry. So we're just going to sit back and talk about the good old days back when God healed people and he just stopped now and he ain't doing much of anything anymore. God never stops. He never stops working. You know that song, Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light of the Darkness. My God, that is who you are. It says, you never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. And it goes on. I'm not going to go into the full song. But that's how it works. He never stops working. He never stops. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's always a busy God. He's not too much for answer our confession. That we confess before him through faith. Our very salvation is here because of a confession. If that's the case, if you can't name it and claim it's wrong, I guess our confession of salvation is wrong then. Think about that. That means you're not saved. It's very impossible. It's impossible to be born again and be against the word of faith message. It's very impossible because they do not work together. They're not impossible to work together. It's like taking a fine tooth gear and putting it with a coarse tooth gear. You put gears of a different ratio together and start spinning them together with the wrong tooth, wrong pitch, wrong step, wrong angle. You're gonna have a time bomb on your hands. It's gonna explode. Those gears are gonna come apart. They don't work together. Doubt and unbelief and faith does not mix. You can put that as number 7. On your notes. Faith and doubt and unbelief do not mix after miracles never stop. Number 8, God's power is always available. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. You shall receive power. Power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I can't say that enough. Then all of a sudden, in chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, they were all in one accord. And in the room, then suddenly, and they were all that were gathered together, and suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a mighty rushing wind. That came and filled the house, and cloven tongues of fire fell upon them. And they all began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And it goes on down, and it goes through all the countries where all the people were from, the language that they were speaking from. And these men were all from Judea. Then Peter stands up boldly, says, these men are not drunk as you suppose. For this is the third day, the third hour of the day. For that is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, saith God, that I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. And I shall pour out my spirit upon my handmaidens. And some translation says, it means the old grandmas. They're going to even use the praying grandmas. Oh. Number 9. God wants everyone healed. God wants everyone healed. I see somebody with spinal bifida being healed right now. Fibromyalgia being healed. There's somebody with a tumor on their fallopian tube. Like there's a cyst on their fallopian tube, a woman, and it's causing you not to have a baby. Be healed in Jesus' name, and you will conceive a baby. I see there's somebody that's having neck problems, a neck issue, like stenosis, like spinal stenosis. I speak that to clear up. I confess that to clear up. Number 9, God wants to heal everyone. And number 10, healing is an eternal covenant. Jesus said, it's Isaiah, and Isaiah says, "For by his stripes we were healed." He was bruised for, he talks about, I'm so drunk I can't even think right now. Ooh, Isaiah 53:5. Go with me. Isaiah 53:5. This is good. Woo! I can see why Pastor Rick goes woo a lot. Woo! Oh, Lord. Oh. Oh. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Likely we are like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and is a sheep before her shears, and is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living. It means he was cut off from the Father. That's when he was in the garden and started getting anxiety written and the stress and all the sins of the world started coming upon him. The land of the living, for the transgression of my people, he was stricken. And he made his grave, which wicked and the rich in his death, because he had no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. But when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And it goes on and on. And this was before Jesus. God knew Jesus was going to go to the cross. He knew he had to send his son. He couldn't wait for Jesus to come to the earth. Jesus came so he can pour out everything he is and refill up and go up and be poured out of every, stripped of everything, and then go down to the pits of hell. He ascended back up, ascended out of hell, came up, dwelt amongst men for 40 days. Then he said, "You shall receive power." Told the disciples, "You shall receive power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And he said, and he goes on from Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the earth. He came just so we could all receive this healing that I have experienced before you right now. There's two whole brand new lungs in me. brand new, healthy, breathing lungs. Why? Because I connected with the Father. Through my what? Through my confession. Through what I spoke. I kept speaking in my time, in my spare time when I'm babysitting and watching my daughter. Lord, I thank you that you healed me. I thank you that you sent your Son to die for my sins. I thank you that you the stripes upon your back, that I have received these two brand new lungs, that I shall live and not die and declare the works of the living God. That's a scripture too that Pastor Jack Harris spoke over me. There's not over that was not just my spoken words. It was the spoken words of my wife. It was the spoken words of my pastors. Pastor Jack Harris, Pastor Rick, Pastor Josh, Pastor Tori, the entire prayer team who was speaking over me, speaking that confession, confessing that when I was even too weak to confess it. There was times I looked at my wife, I was like, you're crazy, woman. You're crazy. You got to be out of your mind. You have no clue as to how I feel right now. I'm done. Stick a fork in me. Send me home. You know, that kind of stuff. Coming to a close. God's healing somebody. I can see God healed somebody, macular degeneration in their eyes. There was a man that saw cerebral palsy in a wheelchair. You're going to rise up and walk. There's a woman. You've been battling with severe bipolar depression. God's healing that. God's healing a woman with tuberculosis that's in a hospital in quarantine right now. God's healing somebody right now. It's like you keep hearing this ringing in your ears and you can't get you turn your head, you get dizzy, you get like vertigo. God's healing that. Inner ear, a tear in the inner ear. There's a tear in the inner ear of somebody right now that's possibly watching this. Or this is something that God's showing me. God's healing that. God, thank you. Thank you for your healing power. Last but not least, I want to give you an altar call. I want to give this call for a call for salvation. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You may have been raised in church and may have been brought up through religion and just brought up through the motions, but you never fully received Jesus Christ. Or you may have had a loved one, loss of a loved one, a divorce, a bankruptcy, a betrayal, you name it. Confess this with me. Lord Jesus, I confess you as my Lord and Savior. I am a sinner coming before you to be forgiven and to accept what you did on the cross for me. I thank you that you took upon my sin on that cross. Took my sin upon you on that cross. And that through this confession, that if I believe with my heart and confess with my mouth that God has raised you, Lord Jesus, from the dead, that I shall be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me in your blood. Cancel out all the sin. Take away all the pain, all the hurt. Make my heart smile again. Heal my broken heart. Take God the stony heart, put in a heart of flesh. Holy Spirit, make me rejoice again. Baptize me. Transform me. And manifest yourself in me daily. So that I should be a light to you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. This is a production of Revival Now International Media Ministries. For more information on our ministry, please contact me at revivalistjfs3@gmail.com or call to text at 636-368-6490. God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.